This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
What is up, everybody? My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, folks, the hits, they just keep on coming every day. A new dumpster fire or fires, as it may be, from the Trump administration. I'm going to get to all of that this hour. The freeze on funding, as issued by the Office of Management and Budget, the firing of assistant U.S. attorneys that worked on the Trump prosecutions, the internal investigations in the Department of Justice. You want to know what a witch hunt is? Now we've got one. But before we get to all of that, I am very privileged and humbled to be joined by former Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn. You know him, you've seen him. On the J6 committee, testifying with fortitude of both strength and courage in the face of the MAGAverse, I guess would be a way to put it. And now speaking out both against the January 6th pardons that Donald Trump provided, shocking even some conservatives, but also speaking out against those current candidates for elected office, like Judge Brad Schimel here in the state of Wisconsin, who refused to acknowledge what actually went down on January 6th, what we witnessed with our own eyes, but what Officer Dunn himself experienced that day. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show, Harry. It's a real pleasure.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here with you. Hey, listeners, how y'all doing?
I hope they're doing well, and we're going to be made smarter and more engaged by you being here with all of us today, Harry.
Yeah.
What brought you to Milwaukee and Madison today? You were in Milwaukee earlier. You just left the Capitol Rotunda. Yeah. Why were you here?
The cheese curds.
Oh, damn
of course,
straight.
Nah.
Little custard nah. And cheese curds for sure, my friend.
No, listen, you know, this is my fourth time here in the States. Seems like every time something happens in Wisconsin or there's an election of any kind, it always makes
it's
national news.
Yeah.
It's always happening here. I believe in public service. I believe in standing up and speaking out against what happened on January 6th, demanding accountability for not just the people who attacked officers, but the people responsible for it. It's unfortunate. We don't get that anymore. We don't get accountability. Especially now that Donald Trump has pardoned the over 1,500 individuals, many of whom violently assaulted law enforcement officers in the most brutal way. Why am I in Wisconsin? I believe that anybody that speaks of January 6th any other way than it was a attack on our democracy, it was the attack on law enforcement. If you don't speak on it any other way, I feel like it's my job to push back against you and tell you what it was. Especially when that person happens to be seeking office.
Yes.
And it's public office of the people. And like you just said, the Judge Schimel, he had the opportunity to forcefully condemn Donald Trump's pardons of these rioters, even the ones that brutally assaulted police officers. It appears he is attempting to play both sides.
Yes.
Saying that if you assaulted police officers, then you need to be in jail, but also saying he supports Donald Trump's decision to pardon them. You can't play both sides on this. And this isn't about politics. I couldn't tell you Judge Simmel's stance on any other issue except January 6th and where he stands on the pardons. And it's personal to me. I was there. My coworkers were beaten. Four died of suicide afterwards. Yes. And the moral injuries just continue to pile on and pile up. And this was another one. So anytime I have an opportunity to push back, I will.
I respect that so much, and I'm appreciative for your clarity on this. This is a moral injury on top of the physical injuries and the psychological damage that those who assaulted police on that day committed. It is a moral ongoing injury that we all suffer as Wisconsinites and Americans. One of the things that bothers me about Judge Schimmel's stance on this, the talking out of his both sides of the mouth, is that Judge Schimmel used to serve as this state's highest enforcement officer and had the audacity to give out honor coins to people with the saying, kicking butt every day. Oh, well, except if you assault police officers in the name of Donald Trump. Yeah. That is not how KAED works.
It's not. And it's, like I said, that's really, like I said, it's unfortunate. And then, I don't know the exact number, you know, but the polling on the pardoning of these, it was polling at 80% people not approve or opposed to this. So taking a stance to saying this is wrong, period, full stop, shouldn't be hard. Now, if he can't make that easy decision, then how is he going to serve in the Supreme Court and represent the people of Wisconsin's best interest if he can't even acknowledge the fact that the pardoning of those individuals was wrong?
The most fundamental, when I think about both law enforcement and judicial officers, and I have served as one in public service, you have served as one in public service, the test of someone that works in this capacity is not whether we investigate and prosecute the little guys. People want to talk about two tiers. I'll tell you what the two tiers are. Little guys and people that don't have connections and you know, pull and money, and those that do. The test is always not can we go after little guys. The test is what do we do when it is the powerful, the powerful whom we may politically be more inclined to support. That is where rubber meets the road for law enforcement and folks that work in government in these capacities. Harry, I want to ask you a question because we were talking a little bit before we got on air here. I got just a flood of text messages last night when news of the firing of these frontline career civil servant law enforcement prosecutors in the federal government were fired. I didn't sleep well. I haven't been sleeping well. How are you sleeping, sir?
Not well.
Yeah.
Not long.
What keeps you up? Like what conjures up in your mind as we both, I think, you know, are trying to sleep?
I think it's the Celsius energy drinks that keep me awake.
Those are delicious. They are not a sponsor, but
they're
call
not
me.
A sponsor. Yeah, no, but what keeps me up is they're attempting and succeeding at rewriting what happened that day, and that goes to the firing of the AUSAs. These people aren't, they want, like, look, even before that happened, even before Donald Trump assumed office on the 20th, they were trying to suppress the Jack Smith report from being released. Right. So they're doing everything they can to erase what happened on January 6th. Not just erase it, but rewrite it with their own narrative by creating these investigations to investigate the investigators. Now, these people are career civil servants.
And prosecutors. That's they it. Are law enforcement professionals.
They are law enforcement professionals. And going after them, let's be clear. Like, look this up. Anybody that wants to call BS on this, I believe that the Merrick Garland's Justice Department prosecuted more prominent Democrats than they did. They prosecuted Hunter Biden.
Yes.
Like, I mean, they
had a special counsel investigate Joe Biden over documents that he retained allegedly after he was vice president.
While he is the sitting president.
Correct.
So Biden's DOJ
investigated the president.
It's crazy. Let's be clear. Like, these individuals, they're attempting and succeeding to rewrite this. And that's what gives me this motivation to keep going. It's personal to me.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, I appreciate everybody that says I'm making a difference. You know what? I received that. I thank you. I don't care if I was talking to a wall.
Right.
Or one person. But I am going to continue speaking out. And I'm glad that it appears to be making a difference. But this is a travesty. And we can't let them get away with it. And everybody would say they are getting away with it. They are. there's an election here in April. There's governor races all across the country in 2025.
Yes.
There are midterms in 2026. And yes, there's a presidential election in 2028. And we can't focus on Donald Trump has won. We have to figure out how can we win the next one.
Yes.
And it starts now, not the day before the election.
As I watch what I'm just going to call mealy-mouthed, message-managed mumbo-jumbo from Democrats and news outlets alike, all I can say is someone who has served on the front line in 2020 doing this work, thank you for speaking truth. I, too, would be standing next to you shouting at the wall, because if we're shouting the truth and trying to engage with the truth, I think that does speak to a different kind of moral clarity.
Yeah.
This is what we witnessed. Let us bear witness together. Let us listen to folks like yourself, Harry, that can bear witness to that. What is different now? We've been speaking about the firing of the AUSAs. To me, you take the firings plus the pardons, and what you have given permission to is something that is very scary in this country. What do you think the combined implications of these events are? Do you think that this is a green light to, frankly, roving mobs of people to do whatever they damn please as long as it serves Donald Trump?
Yes. Simply put, yes. Well, think about, they went to the Capitol on January 6th. They stormed the Capitol. They assaulted officers. They were emboldened to do so because Donald Trump told them to. Donald Trump told them to do this. Donald Trump pardoned them after they did that. And you know what? What's to say? They're emboldened now.
Yes.
Stand back and stand by. He meant that. He meant it. He literally has them on standby for whenever he would need them. And that's the kind of message that it sends. Also, the Senate, the House of Representatives, and this is why it's everybody's job. We have to send people to Congress. There's supposed to be checks and balances in government, the House and the Senate and the executive branch. We have to make sure we're electing the people that will stand up and push back against that, and not that they will go to Congress a la Ron Johnson and go to the Senate to serve the people of Wisconsin and not be a servant to Donald Trump.
Right.
You are responsible for the people of Wisconsin.
All of them.
All of them. Not just the ones who voted for Donald Trump, but everybody.
We got to take care of a tiny bit of business. I know I want to hear more from Harry. Specifically, I'm going to ask him how we tell going forward the difference between rhetoric and reality and what comes next. Stay tuned. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, you can watch the talk as well on Civic Media's YouTube channel, also at Maggie Dawn Show on Twitter, Insta, Facebook. And if you want to see my professional side, you can check me out on LinkedIn. You can find me there, Margaret Dawn. You know what my mom calls me when I'm deep. In deep, deep doo-doo. I have got a very, very special guest, former Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn. He was there on January 6th. He is here today in Wisconsin, first in Milwaukee this morning, secondly in Madison this afternoon, talking about the literal whitewashing of January 6th, the lies that are being told on repeat over and over again, as if this was some sort of peaceful, patriotic love-in. It wasn't. Police officers were attacked. Some have died. Harry was there. We now have a Supreme Court candidate in the form of Judge Brad Schimel, who can't seem to find the words to condemn people who violently attack police officers. who himself is engaging in the whitewashing of January 6th, who throws around words like lawfare, prosecuting people and investigating people who have committed crimes is not lawfare. And crimes were committed on January 6th, Harry. What I wanted to ask you, which I think is so important for us moving forward, I heard so many times, as you did, during the period leading up to this past November's election, from conservatives and liberals alike, that what Donald Trump was saying was rhetoric. This is just puffery. This is him pounding his chest. He's not really going to do this. I don't really need to read Project 2025 because he's not, oh, there's guardrails. Everything that he said that we thought was, quote, or that some claimed was rhetoric is becoming reality. Whether it's an enemies list, retribution, trying to assume the powers of a dictator on day one, all of those things are in action. What do you say, Harry, to people who continue to, I don't know, drink the Kool-Aid on its rhetoric, not reality?
Well, first of all, I don't have a message for them. Mm. My message, I mean, to screw them, can I say that?
Yes, you can.
You know, my message is to the people who had apathy this election that said—
The 6 million who sat home.
I'm going to sit this one out. The people that are shocked now that he's doing what he said he was going to do. I got called the minute that Donald Trump is signed that pardon, my phone was blowing up reporters. Yes. What's your reaction? And I got really frustrated by them asking me that question because it's the same thing I've been saying for 4 years. This isn't something new. This isn't a new event, a new unfolding in the Donald Trump saga. He said he was going to do this. My outrage, obviously, yes, towards Donald Trump, but towards the people who are shocked. How are you shocked? If you're shocked, you weren't paying attention. You didn't do your research. Those are the people that I'm trying to talk to now. Those are the people that you reach. Sitting out this election is one of the most irresponsible things that anybody could have done. And, you know, everybody says, every election, we always say, oh, this is the most consequent.
Important, yeah.
But this couldn't be, that couldn't be more true. I mean, like you mentioned Project 2025. Every executive order that he has done now.
Written by Project 2025,
written
yes.
By, and that's not my opinion. That's, you literally go look, read Project 2025, and then read that. It's the exact same thing, and it's problematic.
Problematic to say the least. One of the things that I have become exhausted by is what I'm going to call NIMBY metastasized. Because I am white, upper middle class, a man, hetero, in a marriage, none of my kids, I don't think, are LGBTQIA. I don't know any immigrants, except it doesn't affect me, so I don't need to care and screw everybody who might fall into one of those categories. What do you say to people who think this doesn't touch me because I voted for Trump? I'm not any one of these different groups of people.
Well, not even just them. I'm glad that you mentioned that because there's so many people on the Democratic side that are saying, you know what? You know what? They voted for this. I'm going to sit, whatever. Good luck. I can't have that mentality. There are so many people who did not vote for this that are going to be affected. Here in Wisconsin, there are people in Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania, all these swing states that he ended up winning, or the states that he won, those blue dots in red states. I know there's so many of y'all. They didn't vote for this. So do they not deserve fighters that are going to continue to fight for them? They deserve it. So it's so important that you can't have this, well, you know what? You get what you voted for. 70-plus million people did not vote for this, and millions of people are going to be affected who did not want this. And
including conservatives and those who did vote for
correct.
Them. I think people are fooling themselves
yeah.
when they sit back and say, I'm upper-middle-class white male. I don't fit any of these kids. I don't got nothing to worry about. Yes, you do. He is coming
yeah.
for you, too. It is not an if.
Yep.
It is a but when.
Isn't one of the most satisfying things at times saying "I told you so"?
Hell, like, yes, it is.
If you got, if you're in a relationship, like your significant other, you know, your husband, your wife, girlfriend,
told you so.
If you, and "I told you so" is so satisfying. I'm not looking for an "I told you so" moment. This is real people's lives that are at stake right now, and we have to stay vigilant. We have to stay on message. Not even message. We have to push back against their lies, their rhetoric, and show them rhetoric versus reality. Show them their rhetoric is not reality.
Yes. Folks, that is former Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn joining me, Maggie Dawn, on The Maggie Dawn Show. You can find Harry on Blue Sky. Screw that thing that used to be called Twitter. His handle on Blue Sky is at Libra, L-I-B-R-A, Dunn, D-U-N-N, 1. Check him out. Check me out. I'm also on Blue Sky at Maggie Dawn Show. Harry, you hit on something that I'm going to ask you your last thoughts, and we're going to close out this segment. When I first got on the radio, my show was called Dawn of the Resistance, a little pun on my last name. What is your call to action to people now? I think you've been touching on it. Speak up, speak out, speak truth to power, talk to people. What message do you want to give to Wisconsinites as you leave these airwaves? Well, what is your call to action?
Well, let's be clear. I'm new to this activism. Yes. I'm new to this.
You're doing just fine.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I'm new to it. I was a police officer for almost 16 years. I had an opportunity. I had a responsibility to speak out against what happened to me, and it vaulted me to this where we are now. Don't wait until the election. Don't wait till election day. Don't wait till the day after election to become outraged. Find out what your candidate stands for. Find out where you can vote, and find out why you're voting for against that person.
Thank you so much, former Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Back with more in just a moment.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Welcome, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, where we're all about real news and great conversation. You just heard one. That was me and former Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn. Gosh, is it refreshing to listen to somebody that speaks like a regular person, but also doesn't beat around the bush about what is really going on. So my heartfelt thanks to you, Harry. I really, really appreciate it. Can't wait to have him back on the show. Right now, I have got another very special guest. He's going to be joining me every week on Tuesdays at 2:30 to talk about what's going on in the state of Wisconsin. You know him and love him as the creator extraordinaire of the Recombobulation Area and now part of the Civic Media team, our very own political editor, Dan Schaefer, for The State Slate with Dan Schaefer. Hey, Dan, how you doing?
Good afternoon, Maggie. Thanks so much for having me.
Always really nice to talk with you. And I alluded to the fact when I was talking with Harry a little bit ago that my phone blew up last night and I basically had two waves of text messages flooding in. One wave was about the firing of the assistant U.S., these career civil servant prosecutors. And I'm going to get to that in my show. But the other wave of text messages I got were from folks that work in state and local government across the country, as well as some organizations that help support people that work in state and local government in response to what I can call one of the most bizarre memorandums I have ever seen related to federal grant and other funding from the Office of Management and Budget that basically says, like, well, we're going to put a pause on trillions of federal grant dollars without any real clear next steps or scope specification on what grants, all of them, some of them, How are we supposed to interpret this? Who's responsible for cutting off the money? And I haven't even gotten to the Impoundment Act, which I'll talk about in the next hour, and whether or not any of this is legal. But Dan, let's keep it local. It is the state slate with Dan Schaefer. What does this mean for the state of Wisconsin, Dan?
Yeah. So I think first it's just the whole order is quite discombobulating, I must say. And I think it has discombobulated, you know, every level of government today, whether it's the federal government trying to implement these types of programs on spending and grants and loans and what have you. But it also has a great deal of impact on the local level, too. My friend and regular contributor at the Recombobulation Area, Phil Rocco, who's a Marquette University professor, tweeted last night, once this was being circulated, quote, "To put the OMB grant freeze in context, roughly 17.5 of Wisconsin's revenue, 17.5% of Wisconsin's revenue comes from federal grants in aid. Last I checked, overall federal grants account for roughly 36% of all state government budgets in the United States. A number of states, the federal share is even higher." So, you know, I think we've seen some reporting over the course of the day on various programs that are being directly impacted by this. Medicaid kind of being the headline there. The Trump administration is trying to walk that back, even as there are reports suggesting that people are not able to access the Medicaid's software or what have you. In programs like Meals on Wheels, programs for homeless veterans. SNAP programs for hungry kids. Like it is really impacting many levels of government in a really immediate way. And so it is really unclear what exactly is going to happen, because I think whether it's the, you know, kind of immediate pushback that we saw after this news broke about how bad this would be for so many people at so many levels, that I don't know if the Trump administration is walking this back or what exactly they're trying to do. The rhetoric and the reality, as you mentioned during the last segment there, doesn't always align when it comes to the Trump administration, that's for sure. But what we know in Wisconsin is that Tony Evers has asked the federal government to delay the funding freeze. And there's also some reports out there saying that he is planning to join a lawsuit pushing back on this as well. So, you know, I think the states at the, you know, the action taken at the state level is going to be a really important part of what's happening in the Trump administration in the pushback to, you know, what we're seeing right now.
It's pretty phenomenal. And just to tease my show tomorrow, I'm going to have a special guest who is part of the group that is filing a lawsuit to push back against what is, I'm just going to call it, an impossibly vague and completely unarticulated standard of, let me just read the gosh darn language, and then we all can talk about what the hell this may or may not mean. Who knows? To the extent permissible under applicable law, which is basically a lawyer saying, I have no idea what I'm talking about, so do everything I'm about to say unless it's illegal, and I don't know what that... Okay. To the extent permissible under applicable law, federal agencies must temporarily pause all activities related to the obligation or disbursement of all federal financial assistance and other relevant agency activities, that very specific word, activities, that may be implicated, again, who knows what that means, by the executive orders, including but not limited to financial assistance for foreign aid, non-governmental organizations. All of them? Foreign aid? Is the State Department closing? I'll continue. DEI? Woke gender ideology and the Green New Deal. The Green New Deal was never enacted. What is woke gender ideology? Is it only, can we just not say the word transgender and then we're good to go? What is and is not DEI? The Air Force just had to walk back one of its implementations, or what I should say, pulling back one of its educational programs that talked about the Tuskegee Airmen, because they were afraid that fell under the category of DEI. None of this is definable. I have no idea, Dan, what any of that, and I'm going to call it this, pardon the language, crap means. This is not legal. This is rhetoric. But the rhetoric here is having a very real impact. This, they didn't say, let's read here. Disbursement of all federal financial assistance. They didn't say except for Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, veterans benefits, school lunch programs, disability benefits, small business benefits, environmental justice. Dan, help me. How much of the state's budget, again, did you say is coming from federal grants?
I think on average by state, it's about like 35%. We're coming into a budget year in Wisconsin. This is a big deal. But also I think it shows kind of how Trump is going to operate in this second term. He's just going to test every possible limit. And so there was a quote that I pulled from Maine Senator Angus King talking about this halting of all federal grants. Quote, "What I believe happened last night is the most direct assault on the authority of Congress, I believe, in the history of the United States. It is blatantly unconstitutional. And if this stands, then Congress may as well adjourn." So I think this is just a real test of, you know, some of those guardrails that people are worried about, some of those, checks and balances that I think we want to see in the Trump, in this Trump 2.0 administration. And if Trump is just going to try to bypass Congress to enact this type of agenda, this, you know, Project 2025 adjacent or direct agenda, then I think we've got some real problems here. And I think, you know, we'll see how this shakes out over the coming days. Obviously pretty concerning.
Yeah, at a very high level, this is why the senator from Maine said what he said. There have been times in our nation's history where Congress has appropriated money and a president reallocates it in a way that goes beyond what Congress intended when it adopted appropriations and its budget for the federal government, or withheld expenditures. It was probably most acute during the Nixon administration, and also given the corruption in the Nixon administration, there was then enacted a thing called the Impoundment Act, right, which addressed this, specifically in Title 10 of the Impoundment Act. They established procedures. This is the law of the land to prevent the president or other executive branch officials from basically unilaterally substituting their own budgetary and spending decisions for those of Congress. If we think back to our civics class, Dan, this is what you were referring to, is the legislature holds the power of the purse. The executive branch is supposed to execute the budgets and the priorities as established by the legislature in their annual budgets. It's not supposed to be the executive branch making it up or exercising some sort of supra veto over that annual budget that is already set into law. Or am I getting my civics lessons wrong, Dan?
I think you're right on line there. And so, but I think we saw it with Trump's action on birthright citizenship last week. We're seeing it this week with this OMB memo. He's just going to try stuff and we're going to see if the system holds up, you know, in the face of this. But
It back even more so to Wisconsin, one of the guardrails, the system standing up to Donald Trump's total lawlessness, and this is certainly one example of that. I'm going to get to a whole bunch more, is the court system. And yet, here in the state of Wisconsin, we're looking down the barrel of a Supreme Court race with one candidate that has widespread name recognition, but that very same candidate with widespread name recognition can't bring himself to condemn those that beat and assault police officers, can't bring himself to call January 6th for what it was. Yes, there were some peaceful protesters. Yes, there were a large number of people who didn't break the law that day. There were also an enormous number of people who did, and there was an enormous number of people who beat police officers. It was the hostage taking of our democracy. It was an attempt to overthrow the will of the people to install a dictator. That's what that was. And apparently one candidate for our state's highest court can't seem to figure that out. It's all on the line, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And that was another thing I wanted to talk to you about in this segment here was there was a big New York Times piece on the Wisconsin Supreme Court election. And I'll quote directly from it here, which is, I think, some really important framing. The election will be the first test of Democratic and Republican enthusiasm in the new Trump era and will unfold in the state where the new president won his narrowest margin of victory. So I think this is going to be a really important test here in the state of Wisconsin, just over 60 days from now, when people are going to be going back to the ballot box to cast their votes in this race. And like you said, there's a lot of problematic statements that Schimmel is making about January 6th defendants and the pardons there. That was in the news this week as well. There was also audio in that New York Times piece of Schimmel supporting the 1849 criminal abortion ban
concluding explicitly that the Wisconsin state constitution does not protect reproductive freedoms, which is a violation of all rule number one for any candidate for a judicial office, which is you can't prejudge cases that are going to certainly or highly likely to come before the court. And this one's making its way. So he should be disqualified on that basis alone. We've got some callers stacking up, Dan. Let's take them when we come back. We have got the sound from Schimmel on the J6 insurrection. If you missed yesterday's show, that's where I played you and we listened to and dissected Schimmel's discussion of Roe v. Wade and the 1849 alleged abortion ban. It doesn't ban abortion in this state. It bans infanticide. Check out yesterday's show at civicmedia.us/shows. We're going to come back with more State Slate with Dan Schaefer right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to take your calls and texts next, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Jack and Mark, I see you. Folks out there, now's your chance. Join this great conversation on the Civic Media Radio Network. Heaven smiles above me.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
What's up, everybody? My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to this En Fuego Tuesday edition of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, kicking it off with two incredible guests. Again, my thanks to former Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn, who joined me for the first half hour of the show. If you missed that, you're going to want to go listen to it back. You can find that episode or this episode of the Maggie Dawn Show, of course, on Spotify, Apple Pods after today's show completes, but also at civicmedia.us/shows. I'm joined this half hour by your friend and mine, the always fabulous Dan Schaefer. He's going to be joining me every Tuesday at 2:30 for what we're calling the State Slate with Dan Schaefer. Again, Dan, thanks for making time. It is a busy news week.
Discombobulating Newsweek, Maggie. I'm struggling to find the signal and the noise, but we're making our way through it. We're recombobulating one step at a time here.
And my great thanks to you for that. Listen, let's go to the phones. We've been talking about both what I'm going to call complete garbage memo from the OMB, apparently shutting down maybe close to $10 trillion in federal funding to all federal assistance and other relevant agency activities, whatever that means. I mean, scope, who knows? You know, if it has to do with, quote, woke gender ideology. So just don't say trans. Just don't use LGBTIA+.
I think it goes beyond that, though.
Of course.
He tried to cancel Medicaid today, basically. Right?
Like, zero out the budget. Let's just start over. Oh, also, that's illegal because Congress controls the federal budget. Let's go to the phones. We're going to take Jack from Merrimack First, if you could, Mr. Zomers. Hey, Jack, how you doing? Say hi to Dan. What do you got for us?
Hey, folks. I got about half a dozen quick things to mention here. This is what about 49%+ of the voters voted for. Total disrespect for judicial independence with the on-the-takes Supreme Court and the oligarchy of six that gave Trump regal immunity. Total disrespect for our allies in the international treaties by dropping out of international agreements. Total disrespect for the Constitution with a presidential order to end birthright citizenship. Total disrespect for the separation of powers in the Constitution by sequestering money approved for Congress, which is the only agency charged with funding our government services, and by another presidential order. Total disrespect for local control and law enforcement independence by ordering under penalty of prosecution local and state law enforcement agencies to kowtow to federal agencies with regard to immigration. And finally, the obvious disrespect for law and order with the pardon of 1,000+ convicted criminals, many of whom actually admitted that they assaulted police. And this is unbelievable to happen in America, but this is what people voted for, apparently.
I hear you, Jack. I'm going to put together my own list for everybody in the 3 o'clock hour, because I think aside from the particular executive orders and the birthright citizenship attempt, there are some things that have occurred in the last 2 days that I think portend real and lasting damage. Damage that will not be able to be undone in the next election cycle. Damage that will not be able to be undone even if courts ultimately find that the president has acted unlawfully, which he certainly has as to at least a good dozen of these actions. Dan, your reaction to Jack's comments?
Yeah, the list is going to be a long one, yeah. Of all of these different things. And it's, I think it's interesting, too, that, you know, we're seeing kind of the different approach between the two parties. Like, Republicans are just going to move fast and break things. And Democrats are going to try to wait and hear from the parliamentarian and don't want to upset the norms and all of these different things. And I think what this is showing us that, too, that Democrats need to be a little bit more vocal and more forceful and more, unconventional, perhaps, at times at getting this message across, because people want to see some fight.
Yeah, aggressive comes to mind, but I don't mean lawlessly aggressive. One of the things that occurred to me, Dan, was, one, I hate message-managed Democrats. I hate politicians that sound like politicians. I don't care if they're my team. I'm putting air quotes up if you're not watching us on YouTube, Insta, Facebook, or X. Please, talk like a freaking regular person. This stuff is really bad. We need more Harry Dunns in this world who can make things accessible and understandable for people. And again, not let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Not have Democrats be so gosh darn precious. Guess what? Having a big tent of a party means you're not always going to agree, and that is okay. It shouldn't be some litmus testing by one faction within our party about who gets to run and who doesn't. How about we start putting people into elections who can win, who are clear, who sound like normal people, who come up with common sense ideas? One of the most disturbing and yet wonky executive orders that Donald Trump signed was removing himself and the United States from an international agreement for a baseline tax floor for billionaires, right? That, like, we're going to agree as an international group of nations so that we don't create international tax havens to tax billionaires and have them pay their fair share. Donald Trump says no. Dan, last thoughts? We got about 30 seconds, my friend.
I would say we got to focus on what's going on in the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, because that is really going to start heating up, and we're starting to see it this week. So that I think is the headline news in the state politics in Wisconsin for right now.
April 25th, you can find Dan Schaefer with me, Maggie Dawn, every Tuesday at 2:30 for the State Slate with Dan Schaefer. Keep it locked. I break down all of these things in the next hour right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.